First, newsflash, people spend a lot of time on social media. A 2016 study showed that the average person will spend more than 5 years of their lives on social media. Specifically, we spend on average about 40 minutes a day on YouTube, 35 on Facebook, 25 on Snapchat, 15 on Instagram, and 1 on Twitter, I guess with an asterisk there for journalists. That's more time than we spend eating and drinking, grooming, socializing, and doing laundry. The only thing we do more than social media is watch TV and presumably sleep. Our guest wanted to spend less time Facebooking, tweeting, Snapchatting, and the like, and more time doing better stuff. She ran 4 experiments over the course of 2 years to break her addiction and wrote about the results in Harvard Business Review. Sarah Peck is an author and startup advisor in New York City. She's the founder and executive director of Startup Pregnant, which documents the stories of women's leadership across work and family. She's also host of the Startup Pregnant podcast. Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, what started you on this path where you thought, okay, with the social media, I got to do something here?
It's, you know, I run an online business. It's for women entrepreneurs, and we're trying to navigate being parents and being business owners. And the thing is if we're not careful, me in particular, I could spend a lot of time on the internet. I mean, we have a Facebook group, a Twitter page, an Instagram channel, and now I'm using Marco Polo to do video chats late at night and Voxer. There are so many tools out there that I had to step back and say, wait a minute, am I doing the right things for my business? And do I feel sane as a human being doing it? Because at the end of the day, I started to get a little like, what's going on? Is this the right amount? Is this enough? At the end of the day, we got to make sure that we're using the tools in a good way that serves us, not in a way that overwhelms us.
And this is particularly dangerous for someone in your position, I think, because, you know, for a lot of people, social media is just entertainment and communication. There's a part of your brain that's got to be able to say, well, but it's also kind of for my job, so it's okay to get sucked in again.
Exactly. There was no boundary. It's like at first you go, oh, you're talking to your family, you're talking to your friends, we're calling the grandparents at night. You know, I have a toddler at home. We make phone calls. We use FaceTime. But then where's the line? And when does it become good for your business? And when does it become just a distraction?
So how did you first try to set limits? What was your first experiment?
Well, the big question that I asked, which I think would be useful for anyone listening, is what do I want? Like, what's the most important thing that I'm trying to get? And for me, the big aha was that I've been trying to write a book, and I wasn't. I still am not. I mean, I'm working on it, but there's still no published book. So I got to hold myself accountable to that. And when I realized, when I stepped back and said, okay, you're not getting what you say you want, and maybe for you know, other people that's spending more time with your family or it's exercising. But it starts with taking a little bit of a look in the mirror and saying, are the things I'm doing adding up to the things that I want? And for me, I had to take a hard look in the mirror. And so I started doing these experiments. And the first one, I went cold turkey. I had to go cut myself off completely. I took a whole month off of social media.
And how did you do that? You actually, you're right, you took some steps to make sure you couldn't cheat. What did you do?
So I raised a lot of objections. I was like, oh, I'm going to take all of July off. This was 2 years ago. And then my brain started doing that squirrely thing where you convince yourself, right? I was like, but I need it. Oh, my gosh, I have to be there for work. What if, like, family calls? Or what if my brother needs me right away? And I kept coming up with all these excuses, which I think is a sign that I needed to take a break. But I actually used a website blocking tool called Freedom. I believe it's a free, there's a free app, but you can also pay for it. And I restricted all the social sites from my browsers, so I couldn't log into them at all. I even had my husband go in and block some of my URLs so that if I accidentally typed them in, I couldn't get them on my phone. And I deleted, I didn't write about this, I deleted the apps from my phone and then had my partner change my password so I couldn't download them again because he put parental controls on my phone. So I went all the way in terms of blocking myself for 30 days.
Okay, so what did it feel like those first few days?
Honestly, it felt a little bit better than I was expecting. I thought I would be panicked and, oh, I need this. But instead I would just watch like, oh, wow, I want to check Facebook again and again and again and again. It was a little bit embarrassing to be that addicted, to be that habit trained, if you will, into doing something. But then I found I had all this time. Like, oh, I don't have anything to do. I've got 45 minutes. And so I scrolled through anything I had left on my phone that was reasonable, and I ended up on my Kindle app, and I read like 12 books that month.
That's great.
It was pretty good. I was proud of myself at the end, but I guess we're constantly looking for things to fill our time with, right? We've got hungry fingers. We've got bored fingers. We want to do something quick. And one of the hardest things for me about social media is that it's so easy. There's not very much friction. A lot of the things that we want in our lives take work. Like going to the gym takes work. It's not the easiest thing to do. And social media can be so easy, and just a minute of it often adds up to 30 or 40 or 50 minutes.
Because it's bottomless, right? You can keep scrolling.
That's exactly right.
Talking to Sarah Peck about her experiments with social media, trying to cut back her use of it. We just heard about cold turkey. Now let's go to experiment two, a schedule. You wanted to limit social media to only certain times of the day. Talk about how you did that.
So then my goal wasn't to eliminate social media for the rest of my life. I needed it for my business, and I talked to my family members. So I wanted to use it in a healthy way. So experiment number two, I just blocked it before lunch. I just wouldn't use it from the time I woke up until lunch. And I did that using the same tool, the Freedom app. It just blocks your web browser so that if you accidentally go there, you get this big green screen that flashes up and says, oh, but you didn't want to go here. You're blocked. And it was great because I actually spent the mornings then writing instead of doing all these social media things that feel like and look like and maybe even are work in some ways. I just saved them till the afternoon.
And what did this do for your productivity and your enjoyment of life?
It was great. Actually, I think there's something that happens if I start checking easy things early in the morning, like, oh, I'm just going to quickly check Twitter, or quickly check the news, or quickly check Facebook, or quickly check my email. If I check those early, then my day feels like all I'm doing is checking and responding to other people's requests. But if I start the day by consciously doing one thing, like, okay, I'm going to just work on this important thing. My friend calls it eating the frog, right? It's not my friend, it's some author. I'm forgetting his name, but it's like eat your frog first. If you Google it, it's out there. So just eat the frog and start by doing something big, and I feel so satisfied by 11 a.m. because I'd gotten something done that I really wanted.
I think a fear a lot of people might have with either of these two experiments, actually putting off or going cold turkey, is that there are people out there who are used to seeing you online, used to having you be readily accessible on whichever platform you're talking about. Are you getting, did you get the kind of like, Sarah, where are you kind of response?
That's an interesting question. I didn't. I think we're all kind of more interested in ourselves than other people. A lot of the time we're really worried. So people did not miss me at all, and it was just fine.
We're talking about breaking our social media addictions with Sarah Peck. She's an author and startup advisor in New York City. She wrote about her experiences and experiments at Harvard Business Review. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you hooked on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, whichever social media platform you're on, or multiple ones? How does it affect your life? Have you done something to try and kick the habit? Or do you see people around you, maybe someone in your family or circle of friends who you think maybe they need to kick the habit? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard from Brandy there. She says, sometimes I don't feel like I'm addicted. Sometimes I do. It comes in waves. I can tell I'm too addicted when I shoo my dogs away instead of giving them a pat on the head. Well, how about you? What is your experience? 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now we're talking about our addictions to social media and how to break them and maybe build a better relationship with these potentially addictive online platforms. Sarah Peck is with us. She wrote about her experiments for the Harvard Business Review. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you now or have you ever spent too much time on social media? How does it affect your life? Have you set up ways to keep yourself honest from getting too hooked? What do you see from people around you? Or do you have questions for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to a caller now. John is with us in Madison. John, hi.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to comment on the psychology of how they get you drawn in and addicted to the social media platforms with meaningless reward systems like upvotes, downvotes, and likes. I recently had a tweet that did really well, and I was, like, all excited. When you think about it, it doesn't mean a damn thing. It doesn't mean anything at all. And it's just kind of sad the way that there's a whole psychology behind it, which, you know, marketers and PR firms use to get people drawn into meaningless activities. And there's so much more to life.
John, thanks a lot for the call. Sarah, what do you think?
I think you're so right. I mean, we're not going to go to the grave and write on our tombstone, I had the most Facebook likes ever. That's just not going to be something that we're going to be proud of. And for me, I think one of the things I've used to make the tools work for me is to write what it is that I do want out of the tool. Like, I want to connect with close friends, or I want to support other people, or whatever it is that you get that's good out of it, because it's not all or nothing. There can be some really bad parts of social media, but there can be some really sweet parts. So for me, when I say, I want to go connect and talk to my friends, and I want to do it for 20 minutes, that can be really helpful.
Thanks for that call, John, at 800-642-1234. And that takes us, Sarah, into your third experiment. We've talked about one and two so far. You tried a social media happy hour. So how did you do that?
Well, so this is based on dieting philosophy, which a lot of times, diets, first of all, there's a huge article in the New York Times that just came out about how diets don't work. And it's because we're trying to restrict ourselves and force ourselves into a new behavior. So what I did was, instead of restricting myself, I said, what if I made 1 hour a day to focus on social media? So from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., I didn't put anything else on my calendar except for I got to go on Facebook, I got to go on Twitter, I got to do everything for a whole hour, and then it was done when the hour was done.
And so how did that work out for you?
It was really great. You know, it's like the cheat day in diet days. You're like, oh, this is a thing that I want to do, and now I have a time and a place to be able to do it. So for people who get home and they might feel like, oh, gosh, I slide into social media when I get home from work from 6:30, and then I use it during dinner, and then it's after dinner, and I don't know when to stop. A really good strategy is to have 1 hour that you know that is for using these tools and another hour that you know is not for using these tools. So you might get home and say, we have no phones and no devices during dinner. Television's off. Phones are away. We're going to have 1 hour. And then after dinner, we all get to do whatever we want for an hour, and by 9 o'clock, we're done.
And now, a funny thing happened. You wrote that you had this happy hour for social media, but you ran out of steam before that hour even ended.
It's true. There were some days where I would be so excited to go on, and I would write, like, 20 comments on my friends' posts, and I would go to every single channel, and then I felt like I read all of Instagram. I felt like I'd been through the entire thing, and it was 4:45. I was like, well, I'm done. And I think one of the sticky things about social media is that sometimes, like, throughout the day, it just keeps pulling a little by little, but if you stack it all into 1 hour, you might find that you don't even fill up the hour because you're bored of it by the end.
We are talking about social media and how to kick our addictions to it. Sarah Peck is an author and startup advisor in New York. She did an experiment. She tried four different ways of cutting back on her social media use. You can join in if you have a story or a question at 800-642-1234. And then I like this fourth experiment you did, Sarah. You took a full weekend day off without the phone, without the laptop. Talk about how you came up with that idea and how you put it into practice.
Sure. So this is based on the centuries-old idea of the Sabbath, which is just taking a day of rest or taking a day off of something. You can do it for things like social media. So I decided to try taking Saturdays off. Sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday, just put the devices away. And the best way to do this is actually to find something better to do. It's not going to work if you're sitting around in your house being like, boy, I really want to get back on the computer. But if you find something better to do, like taking a day-long trip up to the zoo or going out to a museum, or maybe you want to hike and explore, or there's a big adventure you want to take, I would just spend that day getting outside. And it forces this reset, this kind of reset of your habits. And often I would come home at 2, 3, 4, and I'd forget to use the devices because I had restructured the whole day. It was great. I highly recommend taking a day off.
Now, it makes me think of what John said earlier about the kind of system of trivial rewards that Facebook or Twitter might give you for likes and retweets and things like that. It sounds like in some ways you set up your own reward system for the stuff you do while not on social media, whether that's, hey, I read a bunch of books, or, hey, I went for a great hike.
That's right. And it's nice when you're able to set up, like, oh, what is it that I want to do and what will make me feel great, instead of allowing a tech company to decide that for you.
Now, you've done these four different experiments and written about them. Where did you land? How do you deal with social media now, having been through all of this?
Yeah, I the funny thing is that right now, currently, I just had a baby a month ago. So I took all these rules and threw them out the window for the current moment in time, because I knew that I would have my hands full and I would want my phone a whole lot. So the way that I think about it is I like to think of things in 3-month cycles. And you pick an experiment or a rule to try for 3 months, and then you adjust based on the season of life and what's working for you and what's not working for you. Like, if you're publishing a book and you're sharing it all over the world, you probably are going to need to be on social media a little more when the book goes live. But when you're writing the book, not so much. So today, currently, I mean, I'm not even sleeping overnight very well because I've got a newborn.
Fair.
But I do try to put the phone away at the end of the day, and I don't look at it again until the last time I wake up in the middle of the night. That doesn't even make sense. The last wake up, because I wake up in the middle of the night still, but around 7-ish, and then the phone's back in play, and I've got total freedom right now. When I go back to work in February, I'm going to stick with the 11 a.m. rule because that is so helpful. And then I do a Friday where I get to check social media all day long because it's so fun and I stumble across good ideas, and then I try to take Saturdays off.
Let's bring on another caller now. Evan is with us in Viroqua. Evan, hi.
Hi.
What's your story, Evan? What do you do?
Well, I stay up at night, and I spend more time on Facebook than I think I do or than I think I want to. And, you know, I find one article after another that makes me mad or makes me sad. And then, you know, I'm kind of like looking for a good one to kind of like, you know, for an end note maybe or something. And I was just wondering, I haven't tried it yet. I just had this experiment, thought experiment last night. I was wondering if maybe if I kept like a sheet next to me and kind of tallied, you know, things that made me happy or sad and things that made me angry, you know, what I'm reading on there, and kind of see what Facebook is feeding me and, you know, kind of judge if it's really something I want to do.
Interesting, Evan. Thanks a lot. So, Sarah, he's talking about trying to keep tabs on the emotional impact of the things he's encountering on, in this case, Facebook. What do you think of that as an experiment?
Oh, I think that's an amazing experiment. Just starting to pay attention to how do I feel is such an important question. And one thing you might think about is asking yourself that question in the minute before you reach out to Facebook in the first place. So when you find yourself, oh, I'm going to go to Facebook, ask yourself how you feel. For me, a lot of times it's like 7:30. I mean, I'm a brand new mom, so I go to bed at like 8:30. But it's like 7:30, and I'm like, oh, I just want to go. And it's because I'm tired. I'm a little bit lonely. I'm a little bit sleep deprived. And I just want something to make me feel slightly better. And then Facebook feeds you a good one because you feel better, and then one that makes you feel enraged. And the one that makes you feel enraged makes you want to find another good one. And it's just like a slot machine. It's designed to keep you there for as long as possible. So getting out of that can be really hard. I would also pay attention to what makes me leave, or why can't I leave? and start to think about those questions and see what you come up with. I love what you're doing, too. I'm really curious how it turns out.
Yeah, Evan, thanks a lot for sharing that, and good luck if you actually do try putting this into practice. Sarah, in our last few moments, it sounds like one key here is it's really easy to use social media mindlessly, and it sounds like however we tackle it, you're calling us on us to be more mindful, to consider what we're doing and the impact it has on us.
That's 100% it. Thank you for summing that up so beautifully. I think that just paying a little bit of attention. When do I use this? How much am I using this? Do I like what I'm getting out of it? Starting to ask these questions can be helpful. And also, it's not all or nothing, right? We get good things out of social media. We get information. We get connections. We get friends. We get friendships. For some reason or another, it makes us feel better. So finding out what we like about the tool and then being mindful about using it in the ways that are best for us is really, really good.
It's a good place to leave it. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was really fun.
That's Sarah Peck, author and startup advisor in New York City. She's the founder and executive director of Startup Pregnant, which documents the stories of women's leadership across work and family. You can hear her as the host of the Startup Pregnant podcast. We talked to her about her piece that was published in the Harvard Business Review about how she tried to break her social media addiction, four different experiments that led her to rethink the way she used social media. Well, there's still time for you to share what you do. If you think you or someone close to you has a problem with how much they use social media, how it makes them or makes you feel, you can do that, you know, with a sense of irony over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tell us your story, and especially if you are trying or have tried to change the way you relate to social media, really be interested in seeing what you have done, what you are doing, and how it's worked out. Again, tweet us at Central Time WPR or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.